Okay, 1 Kings chapter 10, and we begin our study in verse 1. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions." This foreign queen heard that Solomon knew the Lord God. She heard that God had done great things for Solomon and had given him more wisdom than anyone else. As a result, she comes to test the king to see if these things are true. The world sees God most clearly in his people, and they get an accurate picture of God when his people are obedient. Otherwise, if they are not obedient, the reflection of God is marred, and the world is left in the dark concerning the one true God. So that's what you see here in verse 2. It says, "And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bore spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she talked with him of all that was in her heart." An important man, one who so clearly knew the Lord, should be offered gifts in exchange for his divine wisdom. And so that's what happened. What a deal for Solomon. God gives him wisdom, and then he is honored by others for that wisdom. 3. "And Solomon answered all her questions. There was not anything hidden from the king, which he told her not." And some of the questions may have been silly, who knows? Some of them may have been nosy. But it didn't matter. The king took the time and answered them all. This was an answer to Solomon's prayer. He had prayed that God would bless Israel and that people would come from other countries to inquire of the one true God as a result. And that's what is happening, so you can bet Solomon made the most of it. He patiently answered all the questions. 4. "And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the food of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her." She was so impressed that it didn't even register. An abundance of everything good, and everything operating so orderly and efficiently, God was blessing Israel because Israel did not worship the blessing more than the blesser, who is God. When God is number one with his people, God will use something in his people to draw others to himself. 6. "And she said unto the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom." Most of the time when we hear about something that is too good to be true, it is too good to be true. But not in Solomon's case, and that is because God is involved. When we add God to the mix, nothing is too good to be true. 7. "Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." So the situation with Solomon in Israel was impossible to exaggerate. It was tremendous beyond words. Some of the things that God does are beyond description and our ability to take in. And that's okay. We should be in awe of God and in awe of his works. We should be. 8. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants who stand continually before thee and who hear thy wisdom. Kindness, goodness, and righteousness are all offshoots of wisdom. And with a man like that in charge, it's easy to see why there was so much happiness. He was good, and consequently his servants were respectful and loyal. Everything is operating the way it ought to be right here. What a snapshot this is, unfortunately, of Solomon's kingdom. It did not last, but it was so remarkably blessed because everybody was walking with the Lord, especially the king. And she continues in verse 9, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, who delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king, to execute justice and righteousness." The queen was smart enough to know that all the good in Israel, including their good king, was a sign of God's presence, and they were all gifts of God. God leaves his mark on many things in this world in order to grab the attention of the lost. And those with a desire for truth recognize those marks of God and follow them and come to God. 10. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices very great store and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. She gave Solomon another $300 million worth of gold. And you know what? Long before this day, Psalm 72:15 predicted that Solomon would receive gold from Sheba. And that came to pass right here. Proof that the Psalms truly are the word of God. 11. And the navy also of Hiram, that brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir a great plenty of almond trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almond trees pillars for the house of the Lord, and for the king's house, harps also, and psalteries for singers. There came no such almond trees, nor were seen unto this day. This wood was used for fine woodworking, and it was also used for instruments. One history book says that they made 400,000 instruments with this wood. 13. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Anything she asked for was given to her, a gift from Solomon. So these two are trying to outgive each other. It's like Jesus says, "Given, it shall be given unto you." 14. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold. So about $400 million a year in gold came to the king every single year. 15. Besides that which he had of the merchantmen, and of the traffic of the spice merchants, and of all the kings of Arabia, and of all the governors of the country. And so the wealth was just pouring into Solomon. There were taxes on items that were imported, plus tribute money from the nations around Israel that Solomon ruled. 16. And King Solomon made 200 bucklers of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went into each buckler. And each one of these shields, each one of these 200 shields, were worth about $120,000. 17. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went into one shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. So these 300 small shields were worth over $4 million. I think the Lord is trying to tell us that Solomon was rich, don't you? I mean, this is beyond rich. It is beyond extravagant. And yet it is pathetic when compared to the eternal riches in Christ that we will experience forever. You know, in heaven, I think we're going to look back at Solomon's life and think, man, those were rough days. Compared to now, they were rough days. 18. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. I guess a pure white ivory throne was kind of chintzy by Solomon's standards. So he had it overlaid with gold, of course. Solomon sat on gold. He sat on it. That's pretty good. Thing is, we're going to walk on it in eternity. God will use gold for blacktop in eternity. That's what the book of Revelation teaches. 19. The throne had six steps, and the top of the throne was round behind, and there were arms on either side of, on the one place of the seat, and two lions stood beside the arms. And 12 lions stood there on the one side, and on the other side upon the six steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom. So the lions were symbols, symbols of strength, symbols which warned of the foolishness of even attempting to oppose the rule of Solomon. Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That is a sign of his strength and of him being in complete control. Verse 21. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver, which was not considered as anything in the days of Solomon. Solomon's silverware and cups and dishes were all gold. And not just in his palace either. His country home was furnished with gold utensils. That was his hunting shack. Verse 22. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with a navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarsus, bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. The voyage of the Israelite ships lasted 3 years, and on the way home they evidently stopped off in North Africa and picked up some apes and peacocks. Nothing like that was found in Israel. Apes and peacocks, they were not in Israel. So they must have been brought for the entertainment of the king and for the entertainment of others. It was a good life in Israel. That's for sure. 23. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth in riches and for wisdom. Verse 24. And all the earth consulted Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. People came to talk with Solomon because they wanted to improve themselves. Wisdom and righteousness rubbed off on those who spent time with Solomon. And if that's true about him, how much more is it true concerning the Son of God? The Bible says that as we spend time with Christ, we are changed into his image. People came from all over the world to spend time with Solomon. How blessed are we able to open up the Creator's book and spend time with the one who is much greater than Solomon. 26. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold, and garments, and armor and spices, horses and mules, a certain amount year by year. In that culture, you did not visit someone without bringing them a present. 26. And Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots, 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities for chariots, and with the king at Jerusalem. Solomon was not a man of war, but he was wise, so he knew the best way to keep the peace according to the world was to be so strong that no one would dare to attack, and they were strong. 27. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars made he to be as sycamore trees that are in the Shephelah for abundance. 28. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt, and Ku, the king's merchants, received them from Ku at a price. Up until now, the Israelite soldiers were for the most part on foot, but Solomon turned them into horse soldiers. 29. And a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. And so for all the kings of the Hittites, and for all the kings of Syria, did they bring them out by their means. And these horses and these chariots were to deter attack from the Hittites and the Syrians. Again, the best way to avoid war is to convince any enemy that they can't possibly win if they attack. We pick it up in chapter 11, verse 1, next time. Until then, so long, everyone.